TCL is a proud sponsor of the 1500 ESPN Studios. TCL, America's fastest growing TV brand.
Raised on basketball, raised in front of a computer screen, raised for covering the game, raised by Wolves. Now talking all things Timberwolves, the Raised by Wolves podcast.
2 seconds, George lets it fly, and the Timberwolves escape Oklahoma City. What a win for the Wolves on Christmas Eve Eve.
It's Festivus.
It is Festivus.
It's Festivus. It's not Christmas Eve Eve. Come on. It's Festivus. And it was a Festivus miracle, was it not?
That was fun.
The Wolves won a game on the road against a Western Conference team for the first time.
And a good
since
one.
Last
a
season.
Good Western
A very good
team
Western
that
Conference
was probably
team.
Probably playing the best basketball in the league, or at least in the Western Conference, since they, because Oklahoma City got off to a pretty rough start. And then.
Yeah, they started like 0-4, and since that start, they've been like the best team in basketball. Now, granted, now they've lost a couple straight because they lost to the Wolves. They lost on Christmas Day to the Rockets. But, hey, that's a good win for the Wolves. Even if it's the second night of the back-to-back for OKC and they had to travel from Utah home, that's a good win.
It is a good win. And I think if you factor into that there's – I mean, the Wolves are going to be without Teague for a few more games, and Derrick Rose, they were without Derrick Rose too. I mean, that was impressive, and they got
Jared Bayless experience is strong.
What if Jared Bayless has been like the missing piece this whole time?
Right. I mean, when they made that trade, I'm like, Jared Bayless will never play a minute for this team. Like, there's no chance Jared Bayless ever even puts on a uniform.
Yeah,
and here he is, just knocking down threes.
And then you're reminded that Derrick Rose still, even though he's played well, has a history of getting injured. And
I saw a stat, and I forget who had it. I'm gonna. Effort looking it up, but I think Derrick Rose has played like more than 35 minutes three times this year, or maybe it was 37 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
And each time he's either had to come out of the next game due to injury or miss the next game entirely due to injury.
That's right, because I know his 50-point game was one of them.
Mm-hmm.
And then the next game he left with a
Jace Frederick
ankle.
Of Pioneer Press had this. He goes, Derrick Rose has played 38 minutes or more three times this season. Each time he's either left the next game early with an injury or sat out the game entirely. It's remarkable.
Yeah. I mean, that's the thing, man. Tibbs has got to – you would think he would look at, like, Derrick Rose, too, like his guy,
mm-hmm.
you know, and sort of treat him like kid with kid gloves almost a little
you
bit more.
Have
you know,
to, especially in December. Like if it's April and this team is fighting for a playoff berth somehow, I get it. Then like he's been one of your best players. He's been the sixth man of the year so far in the NBA. I 100% get playing him and getting the absolute most out of him. If your goal is to try and sneak into the playoffs and do that, then sure. But in December, I don't think you can be doing that. You can't be playing this guy 38 minutes a night.
Because you might run into a situation where if you are trying to make a push in March and into early April, you might not have him at all because you've ran him into the ground earlier in the season. So, yeah. But back to the win against Oklahoma City. So Andrew Wiggins gets 30 points, and he has a game that we all like have been clamoring from him. You know, for like this is the Andrew Wiggins that we want to see more consistently.
I don't know if clamoring is the right word because we get it. Like we get games like these about once a month. Andrew Wiggins mm-hmm. will do something like this. You're like, wow, that guy's pretty good, but he just doesn't do it enough. You
he doesn't
need him
do it
to
consistently.
Do it like once or twice a week, but he does it once a month. You're like, if you could just bottle up that game against OKC and have that Andrew Wiggins show up consistently, how much better would the Wolves be? And how much more reason for optimism would there be surrounding this franchise as a whole?
Yeah, and I just, I don't, I'm still like trying to understand why he's not bringing that every single night. And I understand like the other night, I mean, he had to play 42 minutes because you know, foul situations, you know, Covington got in a little bit of foul trouble. Mm-hmm. Cat got into foul trouble and all of that stuff. But
and he had it going. Like,
yeah,
that's another
going.
Thing. If he doesn't have it going, he probably doesn't play 42 minutes. But they needed him to. And what he's done a lot of times this year that I don't necessarily think gets the credit it should He hasn't been the guy that's gone out and won games for them. But I think consistently, when things have gotten tough at times in some games, Wiggins has been the one that's been able to keep them afloat. Mm. Like, if you remember that Houston game where I think they were down 19 at home, they ended up winning by double digits. They held the Rockets to 9 points in the fourth quarter.
Yep.
The only reason that game was as close as it was, and really the only reason for optimism heading into halftime, I think they were down 14 at half because he banked in a 35-footer at the buzzer.
Yeah.
The only reason for that was because Andrew Wiggins kept them alive in the second quarter. Like, Andrew, he didn't quote unquote take over and just control the game, but he was the only positive for the Wolves.
He did just enough.
Yes, he did enough to keep them alive. And then things clicked in the third quarter and they won that game, but they don't do that without what Andrew Wiggins did in the second quarter. And I don't think things like that get recognized enough because he's done that on a somewhat consistent basis for Minnesota.
Yeah, I just, and then I watched games like the other night and I just want to. It's like, dude, you can. I look at him and I say, dude, you can do this.
You're good. You're a good basketball player.
You can be good, but you gotta bring that same energy every night. And I don't understand like why he can't or why he doesn't or I don't know. I don't know if it's like if he can't or if he just doesn't. If he just doesn't want to. I don't know. It's really hard to read. And I know. You know, the casual fan will just look at his sort of his body language on the court and just say, ah, well, he just doesn't care. He's just lazy and he just doesn't care.
Which I don't think is the case.
I don't know what it is. And I don't know how you can be that talented and just not naturally be able to be a more productive player consistently.
You've got to find what unlocks him. And I think I've picked up on a lot of people across the league really using that phrase, not just in terms of Andrew Wiggins, but unlocking a guy, which means, one, they're listening to our podcast, and we really appreciate it, guys, because we've mentioned that a lot with not only Wiggins, but other people across the league. But I think that needs to be the next step for this franchise is figuring out a way to get this consistently, or at least semi-consistently, out of Andrew Wiggins, right?
Yeah, and I wonder if it's, is it a player that could do that? Is it a coach? Is it both? I mean... I think the frustrating thing,
at least for you and I, is we don't have an answer.
Yeah,
like
I don't know.
You can ask me that until you are blue in the face, Manny. And yeah. I cannot give you a legitimate good answer. I have no idea what it is. And unless you are close to Andrew and inside that organization or inside his circle, do you really know what it is either? Does anybody know what unlocks Andrew Wiggins?
And it's tough because he's such a chill, laid back dude. Like, he doesn't talk much, at least publicly to us, the media.
When he does talk, it's whisper.
Yeah, he's very quiet and just very reserved and chill. And so you're sort of left wondering about this mystery of, like, what... Because we've seen him show emotion on the floor. It's not like he's incapable.
At times.
But it's... You just, like you said, you have to find a way to sort of unlock that to where it's out more consistently. And I don't care about, you know, the way he talks in post-game interviews and things like that. Like, I don't give a damn about that. Like,
sure,
that's whatever. Because
sure.
There are a lot of guys that are laid back and chill in the NBA.
Which is totally fine.
Totally his prerogative.
I mean, Kat is, he's a pretty quiet dude in interviews, too. Like,
yeah.
he tries to be, for being 7 foot tall and whatever he weighs, he tries to be pretty soft-spoken.
Yeah. But with Andrew, it's like I'm so curious to see what it actually is that can unlock what we saw the other night more consistently, and just to get that and to it's almost like there's just like this switch that needs to be flipped, and then boom, like he can just go.
But
and
also
be this more consistent.
Let me ask you this about unlocking guys: what situation where we know someone has been unlocked did we see coming? Because I can't think of one. Like when Kyle Lowry got quote-unquote, or DeMar DeRozan got quote-unquote unlocked in Toronto.
Because
Kyle Lowry got there.
Yeah.
No one expected that. I mean, even Kat a little bit this year. No one, some people thought he would improve because just Jimmy Butler was gone, but I think Robert Covington has really expedited that. And I don't think people thought, oh, Robert Covington's going to make Karl Anthony Towns a better player. Like, I didn't expect that. I expected Carl to maybe be a little bit better because Jimmy was gone, but I didn't think that Covington would give him a boost like he has.
Well, and the other thing, too, was when Jimmy first got traded here, a lot of people felt, myself included, that Jimmy was going to help Andrew a lot because, number one, Jimmy was going to take the toughest defensive assignment, so that would take a lot of pressure off of Andrew and allow him to just sort of be a little bit more free and not feel like he was shouldering all of the weight of having to be, you know, a top scorer on the team.
The superstar and all those things that just bring tremendous amounts of pressure.
Right. And then it didn't help Andrew at all. I mean, it was kind of the opposite. He totally regressed offensively last year and everything. And then the whole Jimmy thing exploded at the start of this year, and we thought, well, getting Jimmy out of town, that's going to help Andrew get back to, you know, the way he was. And it still hasn't – I mean, we're still seeing the exact same Andrew Wiggins. And so I don't know. That's the ultimate mystery. I don't know what it is. I don't know if it's a player. I don't know if it's a coach. I don't know if it's even possible at all. I don't know. But the thing of it is they've got 4 more years on this contract – with a lot of money, so they've got to figure out something because this contract is not going anywhere unless they can find a way to move it.
So after watching yesterday's games, can we go Galaxy Brain here for a little bit?
Sure.
What if the Cavs would have drafted Joel Embiid number one? How would the NBA be different today? Because obviously that was the pick that got sent here for Kevin Love. And Andrew Wiggins. And
I'm not sure. Do the Cavs still even trade for Kevin Love?
I don't know.
Because if you got Joel. Now, there were a lot of questions with Joel with durability and injuries and all of that stuff. And that's why the Cavs did three,
I think. I think he was three behind Wiggins and Jabari Parker.
I thought he went fourth. Little on air. Research.
No, he was three. Aaron Gordon went fourth.
Aaron Gordon went fourth. Okay. All right.
But what does the NBA look like today? What do the Wolves have? Do the Wolves have Joel Embiid?
I don't think they do because I'm not sure. Like, if Joel Embiid was the number one overall pick because he didn't have the injury concerns and all that stuff.
The process is not successful.
No, it's not. And the Cavs don't. The Cavs don't have Kevin Love.
Cavs don't win a title then.
Really? You think so? You think they don't?
If they would not have made that trade to get Kevin Love, they don't win a title, man. I will argue until I'm blue in the face because at times there were people in Cleveland that were like, we never should have traded Wiggins for Love. I'm like, yes, they should have. 1,000% they should have. They do not win a title without making that trade.
But if Joel Embiid is not going through, because I'm speaking if he's the number one overall pick because he doesn't have all the injury concerns and he's just Joel Embiid and he's fantastic from the very beginning and not sitting out and missing seasons. You don't think they win a title?
How does he develop playing next to LeBron instead of being able to be his own player and being able to go through those lumps? Because when LeBron's there, you don't get that chance. Wiggins would have been a good fit in Cleveland if he would have been next to Kyrie and Deion Waiters and that group of guys that was there. Instead, LeBron came there and expectation changed, so Wiggins didn't fit in. I don't know if Embiid would have fit in either at the time. But let's say he gets traded here. Let's just, for the sake of argument, let's just say that the Cavs select Joel Embiid number one, and they trade him here for Kevin Love. What does this Wolves team look like today?
I don't think Cat's here.
So who do they then?
I don't think Flip. If Flip had Embiid already, I don't think he would have drafted Cat number one overall.
So who would they have taken?
Probably D'Angelo Russell.
So you think we'd be looking at a Joel Embiid, D'Angelo Russell?
Probably because I don't think Flip would have drafted Cat, and he wouldn't. And he damn sure wouldn't have drafted Jahlil Okafor. So it probably would have been D'Angelo Russell.
So would Jimmy Butler have ever come?
No.
So we'd be looking at Chris Dunn, Zach LaVine, Joel Embiid, D'Angelo Russell.
You know what?
I'm so curious how it's. I think it's so fun to do this stuff.
If it's still Tibbs, I do think Jimmy's here.
Because one little thing like that, I shouldn't call this a little thing. Like, it was a number one overall pick in a draft. Like, that's a big deal. But one thing like that could just change so much across the league.
Mm-hmm.
So much. Because Philadelphia is not what they are right now without Joel Embiid. They're not a playoff team without him.
Well, I mean, you could go all the way back to, I always say this about, like, what if the Rockets would have taken Michael Jordan number one overall instead of Hakeem? Then Hakeem would have gotten drafted by Portland, number two.
Mm-hmm.
And then the Bulls would have been stuck with Sam Bowie.
Yeah.
Because if Michael Jordan goes number one overall, the Blazers aren't taking Sam Bowie. They're going to take Hakeem.
What if the Blazers would have took Kevin Durant instead of Greg Oden?
Greg Oden gets drafted by the Sonics.
90-year-old Greg Oden.
Man, Greg Oden and then Russell Westbrook would have really been on an island.
My favorite one to do is what if OKC would have traded Russ instead of Harden?
Mm.
Does Durant stay?
You might.
Do those teams just, what do those teams become if it's Harden and Durant instead of Westbrook and Durant?
What if OKC hadn't traded anybody?
Well, then I mean.
And then ran it back and gave it another run the next year.
They should have. That's what they should have done.
Yeah.
But I love playing this game. Like, this game is one of my favorite ones to play.
Well, you know, the game, I think my guy Steve McPherson actually did a piece on this maybe like 2 years ago on what if the Wolves would have drafted Steph instead of Johnny Flynn.
Mm-hmm.
And he sort of went through the whole, I'd have to dig it up and find it. It was actually pretty good.
Steph would not be a good golfer anymore then.
But I also don't, I mean, I think Steve made the point too that I don't think we would see the Steph that we see today. Like, if Steph had gotten drafted, if Khan would have taken Ricky at five and then gone with Steph at six, I don't think Steph turns into the player that he is.
So what does that mean for the NBA? Trae Young doesn't exist. Trae Young is a direct product of Steph Curry becoming Steph Curry.
Right.
We Playing think style, of
very similar, yeah.
We think of Damian Lillard as this trailblazer. As this trailblazer here that is launching threes from deeper than anyone else. And in reality, because Steph exists, it's like, oh, whatever. But if Steph didn't do that, we'd be like, oh my God, this guy's insane. But he's overshadowed by Steph.
Yeah.
So that's another one.
Yeah. But I've always thought about, like, yeah, the Wolves should have taken Steph, and obviously they should have. But I think what happened was when Steph won his first MVP and, you know, the Warriors won the title and everything, everybody here was just kind of like, man, see, look, you should have taken, look at what we would have had if we would have, you know, just if Khan would not have taken Johnny Flynn. And
It's
not always that easy. Like, I don't think Steph is the player that he is today. I still think he's very good.
Sure, he's still an all-star, but he's not someone that changed the NBA the way that...
Right.
And because, again, unlocking things... Steve Kerr unlocked that.
Yeah, well...
He was really good with Mark Jackson. And then Steve Kerr got there, and he became a top three player in the league.
And you could even argue that him starting off with Don Nelson helped with some of his development as well. Now, if you factor in him starting with Don Nelson versus starting with Kurt Bleeping Rambis,
mm-hmm.
I mean, it might have been a totally different path for Steph. Think he's good, but
the argument that the Wolves give up on him because of his ankle injuries.
Yeah,
you could legitimately make that argument that they would not have stuck by him. Or you could make the argument that the Wolves do everything right and they have a title.
What if, let's see, where would Johnny Flynn have gone? He probably would have gotten, the Warriors probably would have taken him. Or no, maybe the Knicks would have taken him.
That seems like a very Knicks pick.
Yeah. That wasn't still Isaiah at the time, was it? Was Isaiah still running the Knicks at that time in 09?
He might have been.
That would have totally been an Isaiah pick, man.
I mean, they took Jordan Hill, so it's not like the Knicks killed that draft anyways.
Let's see. When was Isaiah leaving the Knicks?
Johnny Flynn absolutely goes to the Knicks. The Knicks are 100% taking the dude from Syracuse.
Yeah.
That just makes too much
sense.
The
guy who played the 6 overtime game at Madison Square Garden.
Yes, it's perfect for them.
It would have totally been a Knicks pick.
That game was
amazing.
Isaiah
was gone. I think Isaiah got fired before that draft because he was at, I think he had went off to FIU at that point.
Okay. So I've gone on record about how I really dislike college basketball, and I think it's not a good product. But that 6 overtime game at the Garden is my favorite college basketball game ever.
Oh, God,
it's
yes.
It's amazing.
Yeah. Well, and that was, let's be real here, that was the only reason why David Kahn fell in love with Johnny Flynn to begin with.
The only reason I knew who Johnny Flynn was.
Right. And
I'm not alone in that.
Oh, yeah. I mean, everybody...
No one would know who Johnny Flynn was.
When everybody talked about Johnny Flynn, it was always, oh, that 6 overtime game against, I think it was UConn, right?
Well, it's crazy what, like, one game or one stretch. Yes, it was UConn. Because I think it might have been Kemba Walker, wasn't it?
Yes, but that was not the same year that UConn went on that run with Kemba. Kemba was only like a
freshman
or
UConn,
sophomore.
I think.
He was, yeah. But I think Kemba was only like a freshman at UConn. I think, because they didn't go on that deep run to the title with Kemba until 2011 when they beat Butler in that awful final.
Yeah, Kemba went 4 of 18 for 8 points in that 6 overtime game. Oof. Not a great day.
What was the final
0 of 7 from 3. 127-117. Syracuse scored 34 points in the first half, 37 in the second half, 56 in the overtime.
That's fantastic.
It's amazing. Johnny Flynn went 9 of 24 for 34 points. 16 of 16 from the free throw line.
Jeez.
That
got us to where we are today, Wolves fans.
Amazing. But it's crazy like how one game or one stretch of games can just change things for college players. Like Dante DiVincenzo was the most outstanding player of the Final Four, I believe, for Villanova this past year.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't know who he was before that. No one did. And then he gets drafted in the first round by the Bucks, in large part because of that stretch of games. Like, oh, this kid can play. Like, I would never have known who Dante DiVincenzo was prior to those couple games.
Even, like, I'll even go back to, and just staying with the Wolves here, I'll go back to Kevin McHale drafting Randy Foy.
Like, oh, wow.
Kevin
You're
McHale.
Really going back.
Kevin McHale fell in love with Randy Foy because he saw Randy Foy play in the Elite Eight for Villanova at the Metrodome in 2006. Like, and then he was just like, he loved Randy Foy. And that was the Randy Foy, Brandon Roy draft that, you know, everybody gave Kevin McHale a hard time for, myself included. And then we realized that Brandon Roy's knees were like completely shot, like, as soon as he stepped on an NBA court for the first time.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, McHale was kind of justified with that, but still. And
at least Adam Morrison didn't fall to him.
Oh, my God. Yeah. That would have been.
I love going through old NBA drafts and just looking at the names. I freaking love it.
The one that always stands out to me was the 92 draft. Because I think looking it up right now, I think it was like 5 of the first 25 picks in that draft all played for the Wolves at one point. Let's see. Okay, yeah. So 1992 NBA draft, Christian Laettner, number 3 overall. Obviously, he was drafted by the Wolves.
Mm-hmm.
LaPhonso Ellis was number 5. He had a stint with the Wolves. Tom Gugliotta went 6. Todd Day had a brief stint with the Wolves. He went number 8. And then Malik Sealy played for the Wolves. He was number 14 in that draft. Oliver Miller was number 22 in that draft. He played for the Wolves for one season. And Latrell Sprewell was number 24 in that draft.
That's amazing.
Yeah. It was like 6 or 7 of the first 25 picks in that 92 draft all played for the Wolves at some point.
That's amazing.
Yeah. Yeah, it's in. But
one of my favorite drafts to look at is obviously the 2003 one because that's could potentially be the greatest NBA draft of all time.
Mm-hmm.
And just some of, outside of the stars, some of the names that are in that draft.
Oh, I forgot about Anthony Peeler, too. Was number 15 in 92. He also played for the Wolves.
Like, Nick Collison was in the 03 draft. Nick Collison was around forever. 14 years in the league. Obviously, how does Darko go to? Because the Pistons at that time, they were just about to become, like, I mean, they won the title the next year.
Yeah, they won the title that, two that overall season, pick. Yeah.
Imagine if they would have picked Carmelo. How much, like, that, what that run would have turned into for them.
I also wonder, though, I think Carmelo still would have turned into the player that he turned into at
but instead of the Pistons.
But he wouldn't have played. Because Larry Brown hated playing rookies. So he wouldn't have played
that. Yeah, but Carmelo would have been too good to keep off the floor.
I know. I think he would have played more than Darko, but I don't think he would have been, like, starting and getting, like, significant minutes.
Or Dwayne Wade. Like, what if they would have took Dwayne Wade? They would have been so good. And they went to the Eastern Conference Finals, I think, 5 years in a row.
Mm-hmm.
But if they had Dwayne Wade instead, they win at least one more championship. At least one more.
I think it was 6 years in a row, because that year that they had the pick to take Darko, 03,
mm-hmm.
that was the last year they were under Rick Carlisle, and I think they got beat by New Jersey in the conference finals that year.
It wouldn't make sense.
So I think it was, and then Larry Brown.
Whose pick was that? Whose pick was the number 2-1?
That was
because they had the number 25 pick, too, in that draft.
Yeah, and that pick was theirs. They got a pick from...
which they took Carlos Delfino, 25th.
Oh, that's a hell of a name drop right there.
Dante Jones went 20th in that draft.
Oh.
Oh, my God. Okay, so you mentioned a lot of guys from the, 92 draft that played for the Wolves?
Mm-hmm.
There are about a million guys in the 03 draft that played for the Cavs. LeBron, Dwayne Wade... Dante Jones, yeah. Sasha Pavlovich, Luke Walton did not.
Sasha Pavlovich also played for the Wolves briefly.
Mm-hmm. Jason Capono.
Yeah.
Mo Williams also played for the Wolves. Mm-hmm. Kyle Korver.
Mm-hmm.
So there are so many players.
Gosh, I'm just looking back at that draft.
It's
now.
Amazing.
Let's see. Kirk Heinrich was number 7 that draft. Mm-hmm. That's right. Michael Sweetney.
Yeah. That's a Knicks pick. Does anyone love Big East players more than the Knicks? Like, old Big East players. Does anyone love them more than the New York Knicks?
It's like whoever was running. Well, I think was that Scott Layden at the time running the Knicks, I think, in 03? I think it might have been, because I don't think Isaiah was there yet. I think Isaiah might have gotten there, like, the next year. I think Layden was still running the Knicks back then.
I am not sure. Let me try and dig this up, but amazing.
Did Luke Ridnour ever play for the Cavs?
Yeah. He might have. I think he did. Layden got fired in December of 03 from the Knicks.
Oh, okay. And then Isaiah took over, like,
until April of 08.
Luke Ridnour did not ever play for the Cavs. I thought he might have, but that's incredible.
I like the old NBA drafts are amazing.
I know.
But the Knicks love just Big East players.
Oh, of course they do. They're always.
It's because that conference tournament's at the Garden and they just fall in love with somebody. Somebody dumb they fall in love with.
Oh, my gosh. All right. I guess that'll be it for us this week, huh? So the Wolves are playing the Bulls tonight, and I mean, they can't possibly, I mean,
do you want to say this? Are you sure you want to say what I think you're about to say?
They can't possibly.
Are you sure you want to say this?
They can't. Danny, come on, man.
They can.
Ugh.
They absolutely can. 100% they can.
I'm going to say it. They can't possibly lose to the Chicago Bulls tonight. And then somebody's going to listen to this, and they're going to turn around and lose tonight, and then somebody's going to listen to this podcast. Like,
are you aware of some of the other teams that the Wolves have lost to?
Yes, I am.
They lost to the Suns.
Yeah. They lost to the Suns 3 times last year.
Yeah.
They lost to the Grizzlies 3 times last year when they were when the Grizzlies were tanking, actively trying to lose.
They were not trying to win basketball games.
Yeah, the Wolves still lost them three times. Yeah.
They really don't have that many bad losses, though, because in part because everyone in the West is good.
Right, yeah. I don't know. They can't, though. I think they'll win tonight. I think they'll win tonight. I
think they'll win Friday night. I'll say that.
Yeah.
I think they win Friday night. I mean, we'll talk about it tomorrow on here.
Yeah, we'll recap. Yeah.
We'll be back tomorrow.
Yeah, so we'll recap it, and hopefully we'll be talking about a Wolves win. They will win tonight. They will beat the
Chicago
Bulls tonight.
Also, the uniforms the Wolves are wearing tonight. Awesome.
Oh, are they wearing the...
The white prints ones.
Nice.
Yes.
The earned ones?
Yes, the earned edition.
Awesome. All right. Thanks for listening to Raised by Wolves. Find us on Podcast One, iTunes, and 1500ESPN.com. Find Danny at Real D Cunningham. Find me at MannyHill84 on Twitter. And I think the Wolves will win tonight, but we'll recap it all tomorrow.
Yeah, we'll see.
Yeah. Thanks for listening to Raised by Wolves. We'll talk to you then.
Get ultimate protection and durability for your painting project at Menards. Get a paint that combines durability and gorgeous color. Dutch Boy's DuraClean Interior Paint and Primer in 1 offers Stay Clean technology, making your home stay beautiful and clean longer. And with Dutch Boy's easy opening smooth pouring container, transforming your home has never been easier. Save big money on Dutch Boy paints and head into Menards to get your paint project started today.
Save big money at Menards.